Second scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Please listen for the word of the Lord. Then Jesus began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to the tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat and others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, so they left him and went away. Then they sent him to some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. But teach the way of the Lord and God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, Jesus said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought one. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They said, "The emperor's." Jesus said to them, "Give the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we pray that you would be with us this morning, whether we are worshiping in this space or from some other spaces. God, we pray that your word would be known to us today. Amen. It is always funny to me how something belongs to us until it gets into trouble. When I was in college, my mom called me from, they had just gotten home from vacation, and the first thing out of her mouth was, "Do you know what your dog did?" Family dog, until he got into trouble. It turns out that while they were on vacation, my dog had ripped up a door frame and chewed up a hamper. The hamper had it coming. It's ours until it's in trouble. And the opposite is true, too. If it's good, if it's doing what it's supposed to, if it's productive, it may not just be ours, it might be mine. We can become possessive very easily. My parents' house is going through this weird kind of identity crisis right now since my brother has moved out. The front bedroom was my room until we built this addition. And then when I moved out, it became my sister's room. And then when my sister moved out, it became my brother's room. So we don't know whose room it is anymore to refer to it. So my mom called last week, and she's just calling it the front bedroom. Possession can be weird, trying to figure out what belongs to who. When the whole family wears white socks and does laundry together, how do you know whose white socks are whose? And sometimes we become possessive of things that aren't really ours to be possessive of. But we're possessive, and it's like they're ours because we are the ones who spend the most time there. Is it my bedroom because I spend the most time there? Or my parents' bedroom because they paid the mortgage? When I rented my first house, I single-handedly took down 3 layers of wallpaper in the kitchen. A horrible decision, really. But it felt like my house because I took care of it and I spent time there, even though it technically belonged to someone else. When Jesus tells this parable, the tenants rent a vineyard and they spend time there and they take care of it, but really it's the vineyard owner's vineyard. Sometimes when we take care of something, we can become protective of it, even possessive of it. It becomes ours in a sense, and we may even become resentful when we have to give it back. But caretaking is in our DNA. Writer and poet Ross Gay says caretaking is our default mode. If you go all the way back to the beginning, back to the story of Genesis, when God first created people, he created us first to be caretakers. Here's the garden. Till it and take care of it. Here are the animals. Care for them. Name them. Caretaking is in our DNA. The vineyard tenants in Jesus' parable were, above all, caretakers. So are we. Now, the vineyard owners took that call very seriously, arguably too seriously. How do we take that call to be caretakers? When we're talking about caretaking in the church, we usually substitute it with the word stewardship. We talk about stewardship, which is caretaking, and we are stewards of our time and talent and treasures. We say that we are these things, we are these caretakers for these things that do not necessarily belong to us. They belong to God. When we collect our morning offering, we are mindful of the earth and everything in it belonging to God. It is God's creation. We are the caretakers of it. Psalm 89, verse 11 backs this up. The heavens are yours, O God, says Psalm 89, and everything in them, the earth also, the world, and all it contains. You have founded them. Everything belongs to God, which makes Jesus' response to the Pharisees and the Herodians so ironic. They came to him that day with a question meant to trap him. And they try to butter him up at first. Jesus, we know you're a good teacher. We know that you're telling the word of God. So here's our question, Jesus, these taxes. Is it okay if we pay them? Should we pay taxes to the emperor or not? They're talking about this imperial tax, which was a tax levied on the Jews basically because they were Jewish. They were not considered Roman citizens, and so on top of all the other taxes they had to pay, there was this imperial tax. So if Jesus says that it's lawful to pay this tax, that they should pay this tax, then in essence, Jesus gets every single member of the Jewish community ticked off at him. On the other hand, if Jesus says, no, it's not lawful to pay these taxes, then Jesus gets all of the Romans mad at him. He knows it's a question meant to trap him. And so Jesus answers this windless question simply by saying, give the emperor what is the emperor's, give to God what is God's. From some translations, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Appropriate for today, the Ides of March. And no wonder Scripture says they were amazed. Because how do you figure out what belongs to the emperor and what belongs to God? When we look at the world and each other and our material things and our planet through the lens of everything belonging to Jesus, perhaps that changes how we take care of things, how we take care of each other and our world and our material things. The first step, I think, is to recognize simply that everything belongs to God, that if we say everything belongs to God, to name that and claim that. And I think the second thing is to try and act like it. When we know that everything belongs to God, when we know that we are the caretakers, and in the depths of our being, we know that everything belongs to God and we are just the caretakers, we trust in this truth that ultimately God is in control. Whatever else is going on in the world, we believe in this promise of Romans 8:28 that God has made all things for good according to his purpose, those who love God. We are called by God for a purpose. We are not here by chance. It is not the luck of the Irish that has put us in this time and in this place. God has made you on purpose for a purpose. And we trust in that. That through all of that, God is working for good, and that God has got this, whatever this happens to be. It is not always easy to let God have control. There's a story about a man who was driving. And while he was driving, he came across Jesus hitchhiking. Jesus on the side of the road with his thumb out. And the man stopped and said, "Well, this is my ticket into heaven, right? If I pick up Jesus while he's hitchhiking and give him a ride." So he pulls over and he opens up the back seat so that Jesus can stretch out. And Jesus shakes his head no. And the man says, "Well, of course, that the old saying, the bumper sticker, Jesus is my co-pilot. Of course, Jesus went shotgun." So opens up the passenger seat, and Jesus shakes his head no. And the man says, "Well, where do you want to sit, Jesus?" And Jesus holds out his hand and asks for the keys. It is not always easy to let Jesus take the wheel. Caretakers get to hold the keys for a while, but the vehicle doesn't belong to us. So when we make decisions, when we decide how to treat ourselves and each other and this planet, our material things, we're deciding what to do with God's stuff, whether we think about it that way or not. Now especially, we are thinking about how to take care of each other and ourselves and our planet and our material things. We are learning how to do this in a time where the phrase social distancing has become the norm. And I don't know what's going to happen. I wish I had a crystal ball so I could tell you, but that's not how it works. And I can tell you that your church leadership is constantly getting new information and trying to figure out what to do next, not out of fear and panic, but out of love and hope. We make decisions because we love each other, because we want to be caretakers of each other. We make decisions because we care about our medical workers, because we don't want to overload them in what is already an overwhelming situation. Any decisions that we make right now and in the future are out of care and concern, out of love. We're working on living in hope and not fear. Because we trust that God has got this, that this too belongs to God. And we might want to hang on tight, believing that every decision we make is the only decision or is absolutely the right decision, and that if we put enough financial stock in toilet paper, we can retire right now. But I know that God has got this under control. God has given us scientists and medical professions and people who are working on answers. They have the passion to see us through. I truly believe that God is with us and that God has got this. And I truly believe that for whatever circumstance your life happens to be in at this time, that God knows the troubles of your heart and is already working to see you through it. Lent is this season that reminds us, when things seem to spin out of control, that no matter what happens, love doesn't stop. That no matter how badly Peter might have felt when he denied Jesus 3 times, no matter how fast and how far the disciples ran from the garden when the soldiers showed up to arrest Jesus, no matter how gruesome the cross, no matter what, love didn't stop. And even now, whatever happens around us now, love doesn't stop. This too belongs to God. And so I challenge you. I challenge you to take this as an opportunity to think about what it means to be a caretaker in this time and place, to think about what it means to care for each other, ourselves, and our world, to give Caesar what is Caesar and to give God what is God's. Give to God your time. Maybe you can't do personal visits right now, but it doesn't take much to pick up a phone and call somebody. It doesn't take much to send a card, to let someone know that you're thinking of them, especially someone who maybe can't get out right now. We give to God our time, whether it's showing up in person or digitally, whether it's volunteering to drive or run errands for someone who can't and shouldn't get out right now. We have people who have volunteered their time like that for our church family, and I'm humbled by that. I am especially grateful for those whose talent and time that they're sharing this week has been a sense of humor, because quite frankly, it has felt good in those spaces where we've been able to laugh this week. And we give to Jesus our talents, our time, and our treasures. Remember, the church doesn't stop needing to pay bills. We don't stop needing to pay bills even when we're out of work because of this virus. But we trust that God will give us what we need to see us through. We trust that God will be with us. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And while you're thinking about what belongs to Jesus, remember that you too are a beloved child of God. And that even if you get into trouble and chew up a hamper, the Lord will still love you. And love does not stop. You belong to God, who loves you with all that he is and all that he has created you to be. Amen.